One of the questions we need to ask ourselves is, in these past 7 days, 14 days, 28 days, month, or this year, have I assimilated with the world? The things that I've done, the places that I've gone, have I assimilated? Have I allowed the pressures of this life to pull me away from my God? Brothers and sisters, our yes to Yeshua needs to be a no to the world. And this is what happened to the fathers in the times of Hanukkah. Their yes to the God of Israel was a no to the Greeks. It's no different today than it was in the times of the Hasmoneans, in the times of the Maccabees. It is the same battle. And it is the same enemy that wants to destroy your souls. But we have victory in our God. Amen. If you've never read 1 Maccabees, I recommend you to go read it. It's the story of Hanukkah and the rise of Antiochus Epiphanes. We can skim this really quickly. After Alexander, son of Philip the Macedonian, who came from the land of Kittim, had defeated King Darius of the Persians and the Medes, he succeeded him as king. He fought many battles. He advanced to the ends of the earth. He fell sick. Then he put people in his place to reign as king, and one of those people that became the sons of the kings that ruled in that area was Antiochus Epiphanes. He was the son of King Antiochus. He began to reign in the 137th year of the kingdom of the Greeks. In those days, certain renegades came out from Israel and misled many, saying, "Let us go and make a covenant with the Gentiles around us, for since we separated from them, many disasters have come upon us." Let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. In the body of Messiah, there are many renegades who have come out of the body of Messiah and have made covenants with the world. May we in our lives and in our commitments not be the same. Seems like every time I step on this bema, I have such a heavy message to give. But brothers and sisters, the days are short. We don't know the day or hour when the Lord will call us home and the curtain of our lives of this life will close. And may we make every moment count for the glory of Yeshua. Amen. There were some who came out of Israel who made a covenant with the nations. There are people in churches and synagogues and messianic communities all over the world who, to our shame, have made covenants with the world, have made covenants for fame. They've prostituted themselves for money. They compromised the gospel of Yeshua. And they're not pleasing to our God. Brothers and sisters, on this Hanukkah, may we be different. Amen. Some of the people eagerly went to the king who authorized them to observe the ordinance of the Gentiles. Gentiles, not a bad word. Gentiles, just people from the nations. The problem is that these people, these Greeks, were opposed to the God of Israel. They built a gymnasium in Jerusalem according to the Gentile custom, which meant what? That you practiced in it naked. They removed the marks of circumcision, which is the covenant. And it's ironic because the marks of the circumcision is a mark for the promise to inherit the land. That all the physical seed of Abraham would inherit the land of Israel. And yet here they are in the land of Israel, forsaking the covenant in their flesh, undoing the marks of their circumcision, not circumcising their children. Have we benefited from God's providence and mercy and his goodness? Of course we have, but have we turned around to spit in his face because we don't live right before him? They're living in the land that God gave them. And yet they're saying, "We don't want to part with your covenant." They joined the Gentiles and sold themselves to do evil. These are some of the things that happened. On every side of the sanctuary, 1 Maccabees 1:37, on every side of the sanctuary, they shed innocent blood. They even defiled the sanctuary. Her sanctuary became desolate like a desert. Her feasts were turned to mourning. Her Sabbaths into a reproach. The pressure is on. The world will want to see us fall. The world will want to see us compromise, but we need to stay dedicated to our God. Amen. Continue on. The king wrote to his whole kingdom that all should be one people, and they all should give up their particular customs. All the Gentiles accepted the command of the king. Many, even from Israel, gladly adopted his religion. They sacrificed to idols and profaned the Sabbath. Brothers and sisters, we are living in the days of Yeshua the Messiah, in the days of his reigning and his kingdom. It's here in part, but not in full. But have you adopted the religion of the nations? Have you yourself adopted the ways of the world? In your dealings with your spouses and with your families and with your loved ones and with your finances, are you dealing with things the way that the world deals with them, or are you doing things the way Yeshua would want you to deal with them? They follow customs strange to the land. Verse 45, they forbid burnt offerings and sacrifices and drink offerings in the sanctuary. They profaned the Sabbath and the festivals. They defiled the sanctuary and the priests. They built altars, sacred precincts, and shrines for idols to sacrifice swine and other unclean animals. Pig was sacrificed on the temple, on the altar in the temple. They left their sons uncircumcised. They would make themselves abominable by everything unclean and profane so that they would forget the Torah, the law of God, and change all the ordinances. You guys heard that, right? He added, and whoever does not obey the command of the king shall die. You wonder why the people at that time suffered so much. When you look at your lives, brothers and sisters, and you realize that stuff is a wreck and things are difficult and things are hard, is the rest of your life submitted to Yeshua? Being submitted to Yeshua doesn't mean everything's going to be all right and everything that's going to work out, but our God stands with us in the midst of our fires and in the midst of our trials. The Lord didn't promise that nations weren't going to rise up against Israel. He promised to give them victory against his enemies, though. Brothers and sisters, we are going to face enemies and trials all the time. Every day of your life, you're going to have a battle. But if you are in Yeshua, walking in his ways, you have the one who formed the universe beside you, fighting for you. Amen? The Greeks should have never been able to overtake the people in the land of Israel. Are the Greeks mightier than the God of Israel? Is your situation mightier than the God of Israel? Are your financial troubles or your relationship issues or the things that you're facing more powerful than the God of Israel? In the days of the Maccabees, when the Jewish people were in the land and the Greeks had rule over them, they forgot the message of our God. They forgot the message of the Lord. They would not get victory if they committed to the ways of the nations. Leviticus 26 says, if you do not obey me and do not carry out all these commandments, if instead you reject my statutes, and if your soul abhors my ordinances, which is what happened in the time of the Maccabees, so as not to carry out all my commandments and so break my covenant, I in turn will do this to you. I will appoint over you a sudden terror, consumption, and fever that will waste away the eyes and cause the soul to pine away. Also, you will sow your seed uselessly, for your enemies will eat it up. I will set my face against you so that you will be struck down before your enemies, and those who hate you will rule over you. Leviticus 26, 14 to 17. The Jewish people in the land did not listen to the message that they received from Moses about the things that would occur to them in the future if they did not walk faithful to their God. There's a clip I want to show you from Back to the Future. Anybody ever seen Back to the Future? Like that movie? Love that movie. At this point, Marty's about to go back into the future. He's meeting Doc by the tower clock. And they're waiting for the lightning to strike because Marty knew when the lightning would strike because he's from the future. Marty's about to go into the DeLorean. He has to reach how fast? 88 miles per hour. And the lightning bolt is how powerful? Exactly. 1.21 gigawatts. Is how much lightning you get. You got to understand, Marty's in the 50s now. He's from the 80s. The only place to get 1.21 gigawatts is from a lightning bolt, and Marty knows when the lightning bolt is going to hit. Let's watch this clip. Can we turn down the lights, please? Turn the lights back on. Getting into it, right? It works out. I promise you, at the end of the movie, everything works out. Yeshua comes back in the end. It's crazy. The title of the message is Back to the Future and the Messiah of Eternity. You should be asking yourself, what does Back to the Future, a 1980s film, and Hanukkah and the Messiah of Israel have to do with one another? Doc was afraid of the information that he would receive about the future. See, on the night that Marty goes back in time, Doc gets shot to death by some terrorists because he had stole some uranium from them. So they come after him to kill him, and Marty knows this because he's from the future. And then he goes into the past to tell Doc about what would happen. Doc doesn't want to receive the information that could save his life. Marty is existing somehow outside of time because he knows what's about to occur, and he's allowed to manipulate the events that are about to unravel. Brothers and sisters, this world is on a timeline to be absolutely destroyed. Are you afraid of the message that our God has given us? See, Doc knew that if he received the information that was inside of that letter, it would have to change the way he lived his life. Are you yourselves in this sanctuary, online, wherever you're listening to this, are you afraid of the message of God's word because you know it will cause you to change your life? It will have ramifications for you. The difference between Back to the Future and the Messiah is that Marty and Doc don't know the ramifications for embracing the future message that they have, but we know that the message that comes from our God is all good, and we will be standing before him forever for eternity, and we can be blessed if we walk in his ways. See, on Hanukkah, they didn't receive the information of the message back in the days of Moses. This is why they sold themselves to the Greeks and to build gymnasiums and to do things against the Torah. And they were consumed by it. You need to ask yourself, are you willing to receive the message of our God that tells you of your future? That tells you of your present? Are you willing to be changed? Are you going to be like Doc, that you don't want to hear about it? You don't want to receive it? You don't want to walk in it? It is inevitable that Doc will be standing before those terrorists and that those bullets will come to him. It is inevitable that we will stand before the Maker, Yeshua the Messiah, and we will give an account for how we live our lives. Will you take the message of Yeshua the Messiah that tells you how to live your life? Or will you spurn it and push it away? This is the message, 1 Corinthians 6:9. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor the covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. Bro says, we can't live like the world. Can't live like the world. And this is the great news that our God has for us, that such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Messiah, Yeshua, and in the Spirit of our God. Thank the Lord for such an amazing message. As you guys watch the candles going down, as you're thinking about it, can I say such were some of you to you, or to you, or to you, or to you? As you think about your life, are you a such were some of you? Or are you still engaging in the things that are contrary to God? And then when you see disaster strike your family, your loved ones, and your homes, and everything that you know, then you're like, where did this come from? Where did these hard times come from? I can't believe I'm suffering right now. Why am I suffering so much? It's because you are opposed to your God. This is why we suffer. Look, we will have trials. Even if you walk in the perfect will of God, you will face trials. But there is a difference between being on the side of righteousness and opposed to righteousness. Amen? We get so consumed by the petty things in life. Can anyone agree? I have to wonder, you know, do we have a love for the message of God? Not just in the fact that we think God's word is a good idea or a good concept or a good theme, possibly a good book, but that we understand that Yeshua's words, that the words of the Bible, God's word, is very much food for our lives, food for our souls, that it nourishes us, that it makes us successful. We don't go a night without sleeping, even if it's 2 or 3 hours. Yet we spend weeks and weeks and weeks without consuming God's word. And then we wonder why we're tired and we're groggy spiritually. We have no power. If we do not walk in God's ways and if we are not submitted to Yeshua, only destruction awaits. Hosea 4:6 says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because you have rejected knowledge. I also reject you from being my priest since you have forgotten the Torah, the law of your God. I also will forget your children. Brothers and sisters, it's not just you that's in the balance of how you live your life. We have children, some of us grandchildren, some of us great-grandchildren. We need to exemplify what it's like to live in Yeshua for them. Do you love your kids? You love your grandkids? Everything's on the line. You know what? Things aren't getting easier. After I was quarantined for COVID, my job went down to 3 days a week. One of them's Erev Shabbat, so I can't work it. And then when I got scheduled, it was Sunday. It's supposed to be this Sunday. I go back to work. You know what? Restaurants aren't opening till January. Now, it's just a microcosm of the inability of people to need to put their trust in the things of this world. Everything that we have comes from our God, brothers and sisters. We don't trust in the world, and we don't make any boasts in the flesh. Amen. I want everyone to truly think about themselves and about your life. Everybody, think about yourself. Before God, are you consumed with the Lord? Being consumed with Him is all that matters in this life. We need to go to work. We need to have jobs. There are things we need to do, but we need to be consumed with our God. Amen. We can trust Yeshua. Do we believe that? Despite what we see in our circumstance or our conditions, we can trust Yeshua. Hanukkah needs to be a time of encouragement. But you never really hear the story of Hanukkah saying, we messed up, and then God saved us. You always hear the Greeks came after us, and then God saved us. The reality is, the people of Israel messed up. And God gave their enemies victory over them. And then when they turned to the Lord delivered them. Is your prayer in your life as you before you go to bed at night and when you wake up in the morning and when you're going throughout your day and planning what shows you're going to watch at night or what things you're going to do or what you're gonna, how you're going to plan dinner and you're thinking about all the things that you handle in your life? Does it ever cross your mind the words of Psalm 119 which says, open my eyes that I may behold wonderful things from your law? Is that your heart cry? Can you say from Psalm 119:11, your word I've treasured in my heart that I may not sin against you? Blessed are you, Lord. Baruch atah Adonai, teach me your statutes. May you teach me your ways. The Messiah of eternity has given us his word to help guide us through this life. And I've said it before, we have more access to God's word than we've ever had before. Do we know that? You guys believe that? You could think of a verse and not remember it exactly and Google it. And you know what? It pops right up. You know how I know? Because I do that when I don't know what verse I'm looking for. We have Bible apps with hundreds of translations in English that we can just read for free as long as you have a smartphone. I've spoken this with some brothers before and I'll say it again. And I've said it from the Bema. Our access to the Word of God in these days will stand as a testimony against us and a testimony of our lack of our love for God. This is a heavy message, but the reality is don't let this Hanukkah pass you by with you living the same way, with your focus being the same way, with your dedication being the same, but we go deeper with our God, amen? It's my heart's cry. We all fall short. I fall short. We miss the mark all the time. Thank you, Lord, for your grace. As we work out our salvation, as we do the things that the Lord's called us to, Lord, thank you for your grace, Lord. But you know what? Some of us aren't even on the track. Some of us aren't even working out our salvation. So 1 Maccabees 1:54. Now on the 15th day of Kislev, in the 145th year, they erected a desolate sacrilege on the altar of burnt offerings. They also built altars in the surrounding towns of Judah. It says, in the Holy Land. And offered incense at the doors of the houses and in the streets. The book of the Torah that they found, they tore to pieces and burned with fire. Anyone found possessing the book of the covenant or anyone who adhered to the Torah, the law, was condemned to death by the decree of the king. There are some places on this earth today where you can't even have a Bible. Can't bring that Bible into the country. There are people that are underground churches that share broken up Bibles divided up on the sides of the chapters so they can share the books and with one another because they can only have access to a whole Bible. We're living in these days, brothers and sisters. And while this was occurring, they go up to Matthias, and they tell him, "You are a leader, honored and great in this town." They say, "Why don't you come and join us? We know you have some influence, Matthias. You got a lot of followers on Instagram. You're an influencer. Why don't you come and join what we're doing? Go against your God. You, your sons, you'll be numbered with us. Look, we have the victory. God's given us the victory." Your sons will be honored with silver and gold and many gifts. The enemy, this world, wants to give you many gifts to abandon your God. The enemy is coming up to you because of the influence you have over your households and your children and your families and your loved ones and the future generations, brothers and sisters. In Yeshua, we have the power to break generational curses. For our children and our grandchildren that could be raised up in ways that are contrary to God, we can change the trajectory for them if we submit to the Lord. This is why the ones that were on the king's side wanted to get Mattathias, because Mattathias had an authority over his children and the ones that were part of his group. And if he could have gotten them, it can be a snowball effect. And the future generations, it will be easier for them to be succumbed to the enemy. This is what Mattathias says. "Even if all the nations that live under the rule of the king obey him and have chosen to obey his commandments, every one of them," this is every single king, "abandoning the religion of their ancestors, I and my sons and my brothers will continue to live by the covenant of our ancestors. We will not obey the king's words by turning aside from our religion to fight to the right hand or to the left." Is that your answer to the Lord? If I asked you if you were willing to die for the gospel, what would you say? Okay. Now I want you to think how much you read the gospel this week. We wonder why we're weak and anemic, but we don't consume the thing that can make us strong, which is God's word and intimacy with him. You want to die for Yeshua. You're willing to lay your life down for Yeshua. When's the last time you spoke to Yeshua? Today's the day where we need to stop lying to ourselves. Today's the day where we let our yes be yes and our no's be no. We need to be consumed with God. In the same way that Mattathias led his household, brothers and sisters, may we lead our households. May we not lead them in the ways of this world or the things that are consuming this world. May we dedicate our children to the God of Israel. May we teach them God's ways. May we walk them in the covenants of God. But the question you need to ask yourself is, how can I teach my child the covenant of God if I never even read the covenant of God? The word of God is truly a roadmap for our lives so we can see which way to go, so we can make decisions in difficult times. The word of God is what can tell you whether I'm lying to you or not right now. But if you don't read it, if you're not consumed with it, then you have no weapons. You can't battle. You are defenseless against the tactics of the enemy. Anybody with me? If we as a community submitted ourselves to the Lord and to be consumed by him and his word and intimacy with him, you would see a change through our families. You see a change in where you stand. You see it different in your life. Will you still have trials? Of course. There's always trials that are going to come. But there's a victory that comes from knowing Yeshua and being consumed with him. You got to think about this. When Moses stood before the Lord and he was talking to him, panim a panim, face to face. What happened to Moses? He radiated, right? He was illuminated because whatever, what God is, Moses was completely changed because of his closeness with God. If you want to be changed and transformed, you need to be panim panim, face to face with God. You want victory in your life, you need to go panim panim, face with God. And let nothing else be more important to you. His word is clear. If we cry out to him, if we seek him, he will answer. He will make himself known. He will show up. There's no way that he won't show up if you seek him. He is attentive to the cry of his people. He will answer us in accordance with his will, and we could have closeness with him and victory in our lives. You want to radiate with the light of the Messiah on this Hanukkah? Then you need to go face to face with the Messiah. Can we do it? In the flesh, probably not, right? The flesh doesn't want God's things. But if we're in the spirit, then we can have success. Romans 8, 9, but you are not in the flesh, you are in the spirit, since the spirit of God dwells in you. If you believe that Yeshua is the Messiah and you've repented, his Holy Spirit lives inside of you. All of God that makes God God dwells inside of you. Anyone who does not have the spirit of Messiah does not belong to him. But if Messiah is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, the spirit is life because of righteousness. If the spirit of him who raised Yeshua from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Messiah from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies, also through his spirit that dwells in you. But it says we got to live totally different. Does anyone in this whole entire place want to be panim panim with God, face to face with him? Anybody? The way we get there is with his word and with prayer and with seeking him. If you think, if you had to tally up, how much time have you spent in God's word this week? You don't have to shout it out, but think about that. This message is not to make anyone feel bad, but to encourage you that we have access to the God of the universe. And yet we spurn him. We don't make time for him. We're more focused on our jobs and the hobbies that we have and the things that we need to do instead of being consumed with our God. The Bible is clear. If we take care of God's things first, the Lord will take care of everything else. Are there people here who's never even read the whole Bible? Think to yourself. I want to share how easy it is for every single one of us to read the Word of God and how it is to our shame that we are not more biblically literate. The Bible has 1,189 chapters. If you read 3.2 chapters a day, you would have read the whole Bible in a year. And that'll take you 6 minutes a day. If you read the Bible for 6 minutes a day, you would read 10 chapters. And you would read the Bible 3 times a year. If you read 20 chapters a day, you'll read the Bible once every 2 months. If you read 30 chapters a day, you will read the Bible once every 40 days, which is 9 times a year. To read 30 chapters a day, even if you listen to it in an audio Bible, it'll take you an hour and 40 minutes. You might be telling yourself, I don't have an hour and 40 minutes. An hour and 40 minutes is 8% of your day. It takes 70 hours to read the Bible from beginning to end out loud at pulpit speed. if you watch two TV shows at night. That's 25 to 28 chapters a day. You'll be reading the Bible 6.5 times a year. We have no excuse not to be consumed with him, brothers and sisters. We need to decide what is the most important thing at this moment. On this Hanukkah, what is the most important thing? Is it your job? Is it your family responsibilities? Is it your hobbies and the things that you like to do? Is it your TV shows? Or Amy and mine's chips and salsa at night, which is very delicious. We started adding cheese to the mix, and that's definitely not vegan. What are the most important things to you, brothers and sisters? And even people who don't come here that much, like this little one right here, that little one, people who are here all the time, we need to make a commitment to be closer to our God. We need to be consumed with God's word. Look, I don't think anyone can wake up tomorrow and start reading 30 chapters a day. It doesn't work like that, right? But the reality is that we should be building up to the point where we're consumed with God's word. You really need to think to yourself, am I consumed with God? You need to be honest. Because if you're not honest to yourself, you're going to live the lie. And God forbid, you're going to stand before him ashamed. And he's going to say, away from me, you worker of iniquity. As one of the shepherds, we elders don't want that for any of the flock. We want when you stand before the Lord, he will say, well done, my good and faithful servant. And it doesn't come from just flying through life. It doesn't come from giving you fluffy, evangelical fish messages. It comes with giving strong messages that come with conviction and the power of the Holy Spirit. We read Luke 19 today. There was a nobleman that had his slaves, and he gave them mina, which is about 3 months' wages. One of them did his thing with it, and he produced more of the mina, more of it. He invested it. He said to his master, he said, master, your mina has made 10 more. So now I have 11. When the slave was given that mina from his master, he went and deposited and did his business work and it produced more mina for the master who's coming. He said, well done. The second slave came up to him and said, look, Lord, your mina has produced 5 more. Good job. And then it was another one that was afraid. And he said, look, master, I was afraid of you. I know you're an exacting man. So I hid your mina in a handkerchief. Here it is. I have it for you. When the master comes back, he says, take the mina away from him and give it to the one who has 10. What does that mean? What is he talking about? This message is about stewardship. Are you being a good steward of what God has given you? Sometimes we think it's just about tithing or about giving money to community or service in one way or another. We are called to be stewards over everything that God gives us, even our time. If you're not giving 8% of your day to God, what a shame. If you work too much that you can't give the Lord 8% of your day, find a new job. Unless your job is your God, then serve him and stop coming here. We can't play games with these things because the souls of people are on the line, brothers and sisters. We have to work. We have to pay bills. But all bills and stuff that we pay and things that we do are second to Yeshua. I'll leave you with this last verse to pray about and to think about. As you take an inventory of your life and you think of your life and you think of the things that you do and where you spend your time, is your time focused on Yeshua? John 15 says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Everything else we do in this world is second to Yeshua, brothers and sisters. Order your life around seeking him. Don't make Yeshua a second thought. Does anyone feel like they have work to do for our God? Let's pray. Avinu Malkeinu, Father, King, Lord, I offer these words up to you, Father. May you set your people ablaze, Lord. May you set your people on fire, Father, to spend time with you, to seek you, to go into your word, Lord, to become biblically literate, Lord, not for scholars or academic stuff or any of that, Lord, but to know you, Father, to know you, the one who formed us, Lord. May we go to your word, Lord, and get to know you. May we spend time with you, seeking your face, Lord. As Moses was illuminated, Lord, by being close to you, so we want to be illuminated by the Spirit of the Messiah. And we'll give you all the honor and the praise in Yeshua's name. Amen. Praise you, Lord. God is good. Amen.